or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I think you're going to be really excited about today's episode, so stay tuned. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you live out what you feel called to in your heart? There is so much peace of mind when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions as well as your financial goals. And there's so much potential for anxiety and worry and everything that goes along with it when that alignment is not present. It's easier said than done, though. There is so much financial information coming at us every single minute of every single day. It can actually be quite overwhelming. Terminology and ideas and philosophies and competing principles. And of course, financial products and services with fine print that everybody is supposed to read, but nobody actually does. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing and possibly even scary. And when you're confused, you simply aren't making good decisions. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 50 of Money and Mission. I'm James Good. And Eric Terrio is not with us this week. He is still in Thailand, last time we checked. But we're looking forward to having him back next week. Every week in the first part of our show, we talk about some current financial events, so you'll have a better understanding of what some of those things mean. And then part of the way through the show, we'll get to our weekly puzzler. And the weekly puzzler is just a brain teaser. It's a puzzle, and we'll share it with you. We don't know if it'll be interesting to you, but it's interesting to us. And, my family calls it a dad joke often, and I'm sure it probably is. It certainly fits in that category. So we've got a lot to talk about here and not a whole lot of time to talk about it. It has been another hectic week in the markets. Last week, we talked about the difference between a recession and a depression. But, the headlines keep rolling in. I said that a couple of minutes ago. Headlines keep rolling in. Information flows at an astonishing pace. And it really can. It just can be overwhelming. I know a lot of people who have said, I don't even check anymore. I just tune in once a week or twice a month, right? Because it just blows me away. All the stuff, the speed at which so many different things are happening. Well, before we get to any headlines really or any particular details, I simply would like to propose that instead of allowing ourselves to get really bogged down and all those details just keep rolling in and rolling in, just wear us out, make us tired, that we must concentrate on enduring principles as a filter for understanding the world around us. Not just to maintain our sanity and to have clarity, but, as I read in the biblical text, in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, 26th chapter, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. It's a promise we have from God that when our mind is stayed on Him, that the result is perfect peace. And that can only happen if we actually take time to be focused, right? And this is where all the headlines and the stuff just rolling through and just blowing us away. Oh my goodness, things happening at the speed of light. And then, you know, this network's opinion and that network's opinion. And they do such an amazing job. I don't care if it's the left or the right or left of center or whatever it is. They do so well that by the time we're finished listening, we're just irritated and we're upset. And now we're all wrapped up in a whole bunch of detail that eventually, if the Bible is correct, is all going to pass away, right? And it's not going to be here anyway. So Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So again, I'm proposing that we really, as we think about all of this stuff that's happening, you know, tariffs, the economy, the stock market, etc., our own investment portfolios, our wealth management plans, God will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on Him. So let's make sure that we stay focused on enduring principles and use those principles as a way of understanding and filtering the world that's happening around us. We want to talk a little bit about global commerce and just observe that people were created and designed to interact with each other, to do business with each other. You know, lest we think that this whole thing of global trade is somehow brand new. Like if you really listen to the headlines and you listen to the different economic commentators and so on, you would almost think that this was all new. Like suddenly, like we've never had international problems before. Of course we have. The United States actually has 926 ports. Ports where ships come in and deliver things and then other things are loaded on their ships and they leave. 926 ports. I didn't know that. I was trying to figure out where all these ports are at. Clearly they're not all large international ports like, you know, the port of Los Angeles or the port of New York, but there are 926 ports. According to a document I'm looking at here called the Infrastructure Report Card, apparently the first recorded international commerce here on the North American continent was in 1565, when English soldiers traded guns and ammunition to the French for food in an area that we now know as Jacksonville, Florida. So, I mean, hundreds of years ago, there was international trade. People were sending things back and forth to each other because they needed that. And out of that very, out of the very humble beginning of just simple transactions, clearly a lot of things have happened since then, but America's coastal settlements grew, and with them, the ports grew. As ships got bigger and bigger, the ports got bigger and bigger. As more and more stuff was shipped out and received in, the ports got bigger. Today, again, we said there's more than 926 coastal ports. Those are seaside ports. There are ports in the Great Lakes. There are inland harbors, and so on and so forth. So, but as recently as 2020, more than 82,000 ships came in and out of those ports. So, you know, again, people are designed to do business with each other. Now, the reason this is important is that where there is human activity and people doing business with each other, there is income from those transactions, right? When somebody sells something to somebody else, they receive an income for whatever it is that they sold. And whoever made the sale then has an opportunity to have a profit. And where there are businesses that are turning profits because they're doing business with each other, then you have a profitable company. And if that company is publicly traded, then there is a stock of a company that is turning a profit. And of course, as investors, we want to make sure that we are invested in places where there are profits. So again, it's easy to kind of lose sight of that foundational principle when you have all these headlines just rolling in and this, that's going on, and this is contradicting that, and things are moving in this direction. Oops, they're moving in another direction. But we want to keep these foundational principles in mind. If you're interested in reading more about the ships going in and out of different harbors, you can go to a website, container-news.com, container-news.com, and you can read about the container business. Containers are on ships. They're usually 20 feet long, and they're about the size of a trailer, in a tractor trailer. So you can read all about that by going to container-news.com. Now, in this world of electronics, it's interesting that many of those ports that we referenced have their own websites as well. That was something that actually never really occurred to me until I was prepping for the podcast today. But there is, for example, if you go to gaports.com/our-port. Okay, that's a little complicated, but gaports.com/our-port. You will pull up a website that talks about all of the ports in the state of Georgia. You could go to portoflosangeles.org and read all about everything that's happening in the Port of Los Angeles. So if you're really interested in, you know, tracking the flow of stuff around the globe, and just remember, again, you'll run into a lot of different opinions, a lot of different things when you do that. But just remember that people are designed to do business with each other, and just stay focused on that. We are going to hear more throughout the podcast about an exciting story of people doing business with each other. And I hope you'll stay tuned for that. Again, remember, stay focused also on enduring principles and keep your mind focused on the Lord so that he can keep you in perfect peace. We need to take a break, but you are listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720. It's James Good with Money in Mission. Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Well, I'm James Good, and a very, very special guest here with us today, Kathy Troxell. Kathy, you are one of the first people that we interviewed as a guest on Money and Mission. So just say hi. So everybody.
Hello, everybody.
That's right. Because there's no video running, and, yeah, and people just have to assume there's actually somebody here, right?
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Radio is so much fun. So we just, you know, it was episode 3 of Money and Mission. And I guess Samuel Kugundu, mm-hmm, as well from the Mercy School was also part of that interview. And, but it's been almost a year. So we want to bring you back here and kind of just reintroduce you to our listeners and just talk about the Mercy School and what all has been going on there. But for those who don't remember, because that has been almost a year, it was episode 3. Joe, is it, you guys archive,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have more.
Yeah. So if you go to the Holy Family Radio website, go to podcasts and archives, and you can go back to episode 3. If you have Spotify, Money and Mission is on Spotify as well. You can go to wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com and look up podcasts. And the Turning Point Financial, Kathy, that's the website is getting ready to be, what, upgraded?
Relaunched.
Mm-hmm. Relaunched, yeah. And So the Money and Mission podcast.
It's TP Financial. There's a couple of Turning Point Financials.
Gotcha. But, TP Financial. Mm-hmm. I should know that. We've known each other for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
And I still keep getting it wrong. So, but anyway, so good to have you back. And I think, you know, again, the Mercy School was really all about education for young girls in Kenya in an educational system that you would describe as non-existent.
There's a lack of opportunity, really, for the young women, especially if they don't go through high school.
Right.
So the opportunities they have are, in many cases, for the regional, the rural girls, really way less than desirable. We can leave it at that.
And leave it at that. Yeah, it's just horrendous.
Yes, horrendous is another way to put it.
Comparatively, that's right. But particularly, you know, your business and your business life and your faith story kind of ran into each other, which is how you got involved with the Mercy School to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? So just kind of bring us up to speed again on how that happened.
Well, you know, faith and business are intertwined. We'll talk about that in a minute.
That's right.
I had a friend who kept telling me I need to meet this little Kenyan nun named Sister Rose. And I thought, I know everybody needs everybody to meet everyone all the time.
That's right.
And I don't need another person to meet. But I wasn't closed. But I felt like I had no bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
I did, however, meet Sister Rose, and as soon as I met her, I was sunk. I heard about what she was doing in Kenya and the vibrancy and the joy in that woman and what she's managed to accomplish as a semi-cloistered visitation sister in Washington, D.C., what she's managed to accomplish for hundreds and hundreds of girls, by extension, their families and that region.
Right.
It's astounding.
Tremendous amount of impact.
Yeah.
Just because she is following where God's called
her
to be. That's exactly right. So, you know, again, for our listeners here on the Money and Mission podcast, we hope you'll find this story and other stories, folks that we interviewed, to be interesting. But more than finding the stories interesting, we hope you'll catch the vision that we as people, we've been, how did you say this earlier, Kathy, when we were talking, we were created in God's image to and commissioned to master the earth.
Okay, well, that actually comes from Gaudium et Spes. It was in actually the morning offering today.
Okay.
I won't read the whole thing because that would take the whole hour.
Take the whole hour, that's right.
It was just coincidental that was the reading for today, but it talks about man in the modern world, really. Mm-hmm. So we are created in God's image. I'm going to clip it down a little bit.
Sure.
We've been commissioned to master the earth and all it contains, and so rule the world in justice and holiness.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes on, but it really hit me. And the second part of it says, this commission extends to even the most ordinary activities of everyday life, where men and women, in the course of gaining a livelihood for themselves and their families,
running a business, right,
going to the grocery store, whatever, offer appropriate service to society, they can be confident that their personal efforts promote the work of the Creator, confer benefit on their fellow men, and help to realize God's plan in history. So it was beautiful, and we talked before the show a little bit about, like, what matters? What matters? I mean, this is what this document's trying to bring out.
That's right. That is what matters. That is what it's all about. It's the reason that God put us here.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly, yeah, we want to, you know, again, kind of refresh our memory on you and your story and business and your faith and what the Mercy School Foundation is all about. But really kind of bringing that point home that it doesn't matter where you are in life. If you're running a business, big or small, you know, if you're retired or if you're not retired, whatever, this is all about where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more about that as we go. So again, so you got involved. You said you didn't have, you didn't need one more person to meet. Right?
Well, I'm on the board of a couple ministries and, you know, we all are doing our best, whatever you can.
Right.
And I knew if I met her, they were going to ask me to join the board, and I said, I can't do it. I didn't see how I had possibly any minutes left in the day.
Right.
The Lord knows. He knows what he's doing. But
that's right.
But in a human sense,
most of us don't, right? We only have 24 hours, and we seem to have a propensity for filling every single minute of everything. Even, right, Joe? I mean, you're retired, right? And how does that work, right?
Yeah, not very well.
Yeah, full calendar, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, so I'm sorry. I got you off the outline
there.
But then you suddenly, you quickly realize that the Mercy School is in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the way, it probably dawned on you that, like, this was really outside of the filling up every minute. I mean, this is like, you know, can we pack 3 days in one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's not overemphasize what I was doing. I mean, Sister Rose did this.
Right.
But my role was to come alongside of her.
Okay.
And I just knew once I did, I was going to be sunk because I knew my heart would be carried away.
Mm-hmm.
And then something very quickly popped up as a little bit of a business opportunity. I'm in a financial services business.
Mm-hmm.
So
For like 30 years.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's right. So,
yeah, you're working. And then all of a sudden, a Kenyan business, well, Sister Rose and I were praying for a micro business to help generate revenue for the school so that it wouldn't always rely on donors.
Right.
And this opportunity popped up. And it was one of the most fun things we've worked on.
Yeah.
And then that led to me being able to go over there and visit and meet the girls. The best memories.
That's right.
It's way outside my comfort zone, but it's now part of my comfort zone.
Now it's part of it.
Yeah.
Comfort zones work that way, don't they?
Yeah.
Like we get called to do something and we're like, oh, Jesus.
I can't do that. My husband said, we can't do that. I said, why not? We can't go to Africa. Why not? We did.
And now we could do it again, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. It's funny how God works like that. Stuff we could not even imagine. Mm-hmm. Right. And all of a sudden he's got us involved in something. And then, oh, my goodness, the world just kind of got bigger. And now it's like, what was I so scared about? Right.
I think what it really taught me was that, and we were talking about this earlier, God doesn't ask us to give with our excess. And that's something in financial services that we talk about, giving with your excess, making a charitable donation. That's not what this is.
Mm.
This is living, living and breathing in community, giving what you can give, and doing it along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, certainly, I mean, did you have partners in business that you had to sort of convince that this was an okay thing to be doing? Or were people saying, oh my goodness, Kathy, where are you going?
Crazy.
We
have people say, you're crazy. I've had people in business before tell me, take care of yourself first. I had a woman say, don't do that yet. You put the oxygen, like on the plane, you put the oxygen mask on yourself first, and then you help somebody. So Kathy, you know, you need to put the oxygen mask on and get your goals accomplished. And then you just imagine what you could do. And I said,
after you accomplish
once you get there, once you button everything up. And you know, we never button everything up.
Yeah, it does always seem like the goal just kind of, it recedes out.
It gets higher and higher.
That's right.
So I looked at that person and said, okay, we're not meant to be in business together. I'm doing it anyway. So, you know, the Lord blesses it with so much joy. That's the big secret. We're all sitting here in the United States trying to figure things out and work on our financial plan and gather our assets and build our legacy and all this stuff that we're trained on helping people learn how to do or to accomplish. The joy is in doing it along the way.
Mm.
Like, what joy is it when, you know, you leave a legacy and send some money down through the channels? Mm-hmm. Hopefully it gets there. Doing it along the way is what life's about.
Doing it along the way.
And we talked about Paul, right. You know, St. Paul. He made tents. He repaired nets. Do we know about those nets today? Do we care about the nets? No.
Parenthetically, we go, oh, by the way, he made tents.
Yes. He did so much more when he lived.
That's right.
Not that I can emulate St. Paul, or kind of don't really want to in a lot of ways. But you know, that's what's important is what we do, we're doing here.
That's right. Well, it's time for my favorite part of the show, our weekly puzzle.
So, James, what was the question and answer for last week?
So last week, the question was that there's this lake. In this lake, there's a patch of lily pads, and every day, the patch of lily pads doubles in size. If it takes 48 days to cover the whole lake, how many days would it take to cover half the lake?
The whole lake in 48 days. Yeah. How many for half the lake?
Yeah.
And what's the answer?
47 days.
Oh, yeah.
Because on the last day it doubles. Yeah. That's right, on the last day it doubles.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, well, what do we have for this week?
Oh, this one's a good one. It's a little riddle. It says, I am the cost of using money that isn't yours yet. I can accumulate slowly or rapidly, depending on agreements made beforehand. Savers like to see me grow, while borrowers try to keep me low. What am I?
Cost of using money that isn't yours yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just take it.
Nope.
No.
You don't have it.
It costs you something.
That's right. Savers like to see me grow, and borrowers try to keep me low. What am I?
What am I? Well, if you think you know the answer to that, send your answer to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the answer on the show next week. We need to take a break and hear a word from our supporters. You're listening to WHYF AM 720 Holy Family Radio. Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good, and today I'm visiting with Kathy Troxell. And Kathy, your career in financial services ended up with you building a business and then supporting an effort in Kenya to help provide education that was desperately needed and some micro business as well. So talk a little bit about, I mean, if again, if folks didn't listen to the first episode, it's episode number three on Money and Mission. But it's almost a year now since we talked. So what's going on? Talk about the Mercy School and some of the things that are happening there.
Okay, well, a lot has happened in the last year because last year Samuel Kagundu was here, and he was the auditor, financial controller of the school and the community over there. And he had the idea with Sister Rose to build this sunflower oil factory. Mm-hmm. We were just launching it. Turning Point got involved in that and helped do the business plan and that kind of thing. And then we gave the seed money, to make a joke, because it's a sunflower oil business.
Sunflower seeds,
yes,
and the seed money.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we ordered the equipment on a promise that the Lord would come through with the other money to do it. And it's been beautiful because that project came to fruition. Farmers were able to grow crops. The oil has been produced. It is pure, more pure than the international oil that comes through. Mm. And he's created a system to be able to sell it to the locals in small, small quantities so they can actually purchase it and use it. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful success story. It happened just as Ukrainian oil supply system, sunflower oil, was shutting down due to the war.
Right.
So the Lord had his perfect timing.
That's right. We talk about global transactions and, you know, and so, and there's an example of how, you know, the global supply chain, right, it dried up and it created this need. But the reason that money was needed, again, is because a school needs money to function.
Yeah. And there have been good donors over the years to cover it. And a lot of times the needs continue to grow. Prices go up. It's working. The community's growing. They've done a lot of things on a shoestring to save money, to make sure they're very frugal. The girls are happy. They're joy-filled. I'd like to see a few more protein meals that get served in addition to some of the other meals that they get to eat. But it's working. It's
so
beautiful.
How many girls?
Right now, there are approximately 368 enrolled girls in the school. It's a 4-year high school. They've changed, the Ministry of Education changed their schooling system just this year. So it's now 3 years, and the junior high is before that. So they've had to go through a big shift.
Yeah, so it's still 4 years of school, but it's split into kind of...
It's more like 5 years of school split into 2 and 3.
Oh, I see.
So now we're 3 grades, high school, boarding school for girls.
So this is the Kenyan Ministry of Education.
They made the rule.
Gotcha.
All the schools, even the ones that are working on a shoestring budget, have to redo all their textbooks, all their curriculum, mm-hmm. train the teachers. It's been a pretty good-sized burden.
Yeah.
We have an amazing professional principal there who's shepherding the process. That's Lydia.
Yeah.
And she's doing a great job.
Yeah. So it's a big process, right, getting all that ready,
oh
but it
goodness.
Costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. in U.S. standards, no.
Hmm.
I mean, honestly, knowing the money that people have, because we work in financial services, it would take one person with an average donation to fund the gap of the whole thing.
Gosh.
It would be so easy mm-hmm. to do, but it doesn't work like that usually. So many hands make light work,
mm-hmm.
and then there are a couple big donors that come through with projects,
mm-hmm.
and it's working. There's still need.
Right.
There's still need, but it's flourishing despite.
Right. But then the business effort in the sunflower seed oil project really, again, it's a profitable business,
mm-hmm.
and the profits from that business are used to pay for
girls'
the
education.
That's right, girls' education. So there comes business again,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So your business, you know, helped get some things started and teaching these folks how to run a business. You know, again, we have the spiritual colliding with the physical.
That's right.
Or integrating or infusing or whatever word
we
want to use.
Well, it's not separate.
It's not separate. It is
it
one.
Can't be.
It is one and the same,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, we talked about that in the first segment. I just have this knack for saying things repetitively.
It's good for people to hear them repetitively.
Sure. Just because sometimes you have to say it two or three times to let it sink in
mm-hmm.
that the business is not separate from the spiritual.
It's our one life.
It is a one life.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay. So this is a really big deal then in Kenya. And as you said, it's working.
368 are enrolled. Some of them may not stay, like maybe a couple handfuls, because Compassion International came behind and found out about this project, visited the site.
Mm-hmm.
They were so incredibly impressed. They actually wanted it to be a template for Africa in general.
Oh, wow.
This self-sustaining community, this beautiful ecosystem of faith and community and life and mm-hmm. agriculture, microbusiness. So,
I mean, Compassion International is the real deal.
It's the real deal.
The real deal.
To have a check from them was a big, big encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically brought a bunch of young women down for school with scholarship, which mm-hmm. was a great help.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe 50% of their tuition or costs are covered. We're asking to inch it up a little bit, if possible, because it's very difficult to fill in that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they're great. They've been great. They've been right behind us and sent a whole bunch of young women down.
Yeah.
So some of them were pulled down and passed the entrance exam. And Sister Rose told me this morning that they're not flourishing. Like their education history wasn't suitable.
Mm.
So she said for those girls, Compassion is going to find a day school for them.
Okay.
So there's like a couple handfuls. This is an experiment, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was the first year.
Yeah.
But most of them did really, really well and knocked the scores off the charts.
Off the charts.
And people are looking around going, what school is that? Like nobody's ever heard of that school. What's going on over there?
Right.
So.
But it's working.
It's working.
It's working. How exciting.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting is that? Well, Compassion is not the only organization that has kind of caught the attention, or the school has caught the attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the only organization.
Hope International is talking to us now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know where that's going to go, but it's great just to have acknowledgement or partnership or even thought leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just wonderful to be working together with them.
Yeah.
And Mercy School is a Catholic school, unapologetically Catholic.
Right.
And these ministries are more evangelical in nature, so it's even more beautiful to see that working together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's, but the idea that, you know, again, some folks with a well-established international organization, with a really just solid reputation and so on and so forth, come to town,
mm-hmm.
examine what's happening, and say, wow, we'd like to use that as a template for, as I understand, all of Africa.
Well, parts of it, yes. They said, mm-hmm. can you teach us? How did you do this?
Right.
Because it, when you visit there, hopefully people, somebody will listening will say, I want to check this out.
I'd like to visit.
I would love to visit. It is like piece of heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. I can't describe it. It's really
I would
great.
Love to visit.
Oh, well, let's all go.
We'll figure that out. That's right. Joe, you just got back from Australia, right?
It's closer. It's a little closer.
You wanted to do Kenya.
There you go.
I could see it.
It's a bumpy 3.5-hour ride from Nairobi. That's the only downside because, uh-huh. you know, those roads are not great. But it is like, I said, this probably was what Eden was like. I don't mm-hmm. know. It sounds crazy, but it's a beautiful part of Kenya.
Right.
Very lush, beautiful, yeah. friendly. Yeah. People are grateful, friendly, happy.
Yeah. But people are people. The needs are there no matter where you go. Mm-hmm. And you are stepping right into that. Now you sit on the board then, is that right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The board of the whole?
Mercy Center Foundation USA.
Okay.
So it's just the US side.
Right.
And what we have a board and what we're doing is trying to find people who want to be interested and partner with this project. As we said, it's not, it's so surmountable, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are needs and there are a couple of projects that are on the deck, if anybody ever wants to hear about that. But a couple key components of that community that still need to be realized. So that I'm excited about.
Yeah, so, you know, we will have time to talk about some of those projects. So I'm just making a note, projects.
Mm-hmm.
That way we won't forget to highlight some of those projects. You know, we have about a minute and a half here before we have to start wrapping this segment. Why don't you just kind of do a 90-second overview? What are some of the projects?
Well, they want to have a chapel, a Divine Mercy Chapel on the property. I walked the ground exactly where it's going to go. I could picture it.
Mm-hmm.
But they want the girls. Some of these girls have not had faith formation at all. There were some Muslim girls in the upper reaches of the country that were brought in by Compassion International after being exposed to the faith,
mm-hmm.
asked their parents if they could be baptized.
Mm.
So we really want the chapel, we want the presence of the Blessed Sacrament on site.
Mm-hmm.
We want masses to be said there on site. They mm-hmm. do bring a priest in, but I think that's going to be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of other things going on I can't really talk about right now, but I can talk in private about.
Sure,
yeah.
That's right. Just not ready for
full disclosure yet, but they're so beautiful. It's such an amazing thing.
Well, make sure to keep me posted.
Right? I will.
Because when those projects get to a spot where they're ready to talk about, we want to have you back to talk about them.
Yeah, they have a clinic, they have a farm, they have a water system, they have sunflower oil.
A farm. Is that
super cool.
Hydroponics? Is
they
that kind
have
of thing,
methane or? Gas from the cow manure that fuels this. I mean, they've got the whole thing figured out.
Right.
It's so cool.
Right. I just, you know, I love that about micro business in that the creativity that occurs when you start getting involved and teaching people how to do business,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
People have ideas. People were created to be creative.
And work together.
And to work together.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So, well, it's such an exciting project. And I'm looking forward to, you know, again, talking more about how people can get involved and so on and so forth when we come back in the next segment. But we are getting to a spot, you know, the time goes so quickly, right? But we're almost at the end of the segment here. We'll wrap it up so we can hear from our supporters. You're listening to Holy Family Radio. It's Money and Mission here on WHYF AM 720. Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good, and we're visiting today with Kathy Troxell. Just say hi so people know you're still here.
I'm still here.
That's right. You know, we just said that if this was video, people would be able to see, but it's not, so we have to make noises as we go along. But this, wow, what a fascinating project we're talking about here, Kathy, the Mercy School. And, you know, there's a financial need. And then the the business effort, the sunflower seed oil that's created is sold, and that creates dollars back to the school.
Yeah, it's really, really a phenomenal story. When I prayed about whether to take the risk, because it was a, for us, it was a good-sized check to write to get the equipment ordered. Then we knew we'd have to pay for the equipment when it got here. And it was a little, what if it doesn't work? Actually, at the time, the board was not convinced of the project, and we had a 3.5-hour, very, I would say, heated or energetic exchange. And I was so convinced that this is what the Lord wanted. I wasn't going to give up on it. I was like, if the board won't do it, then Turning Point's going to do it.
Right.
And you can't stop us, kind
That's
of.
Right.
That's really where I was.
We're going to do this. That's
like,
right.
We won't run it through the board. Mm-hmm. We'll just do it because I knew. So basically, there was a plot of land, and they had Samuel, who you met last year. But he had this idea. He had done this himself in a small way with a small machine. And you basically grow sunflower seeds. And the climate in that part of Kenya is so well disposed for those plants.
And these are just sunflowers.
Yeah, like big sunflowers,
big sunflowers
like we know.
And they have seeds. Okay.
Yeah.
All
but right, in just, Kenya, their crop is corn, mostly. And so they get one crop a year, the farmers. They're very poor. If anything happens to that crop, that's 1 year down the drain. No food, no money.
Right.
So the beauty of the sunflower crops for these micro farmers, the beauty was they could do two crops a year, maybe start into the third crop, and they are so hardy that there's very little chance they're not going to be able to harvest those sunflower seeds.
So they grow their corn, and then the corn season
Finished. They've been ditching the corn. They've been making more money on the sunflower seeds.
Sure.
I mean, there's challenges. The challenges last year they figured out was that the birds love sunflower seeds, too.
That's right.
So the farmers are like, oh, my goodness. So
do they have groundhogs in Kenya?
I don't know.
No.
I haven't seen them. They have donkeys. They have zebras, like, on the side of the road.
That's
I was
right.
freaking out when I saw the first one, and Sister Rose said, that's just nothing more than a mule with stripes. I
with
was
stripes,
like, okay, well, you ruined it.
That's right. Let me think zebras are amazing, right?
I did. But so the sunflower seeds, there's these machines. They take like containers that are on trains, on tractor trailers. They make them into buildings. We got to go over and see those buildings being put together. And they put these Chinese manufactured machines that are warrantied in place. They take the sunflower seeds, they weigh them, pay the farmers, and they press them, get the oil out, and they take the waste and they make them into cakes. So this is the Lord. Only the Lord would do it this way, because the seeds that are wasted are made into cakes. The farmers from all the neighboring countries and surrounding area need those cakes for their livestock. Actually, it's a secondary market that's probably as or more profitable than the oil itself.
Oh, my goodness. So nothing is wasted.
Nothing is
every
wasted.
Every little piece is thought
every
out.
Every piece. And then there's like the oil has this top layer, waxy layer. They use that for soap. The other thing that's really cool is they have these little machines. And if you picture a gas, like a gas tank, you know, when you go to the gas station, you squeeze the handle and you have that dispenser. There's sort of like a dispenser kind of like that, that you can put the oil in, and then the poor or disadvantaged people in the area, they can come with their tiny little containers and dispense 50 cents worth of oil. In the past, they would have to get together and go to the market, and they would have to buy 1 or 2 liters, which is the equivalent of $40 US.
Oh, wow.
There's no way.
They were just priced out.
They would have to go get all the neighbors together. It was like a whole deal to get oil. So now they come with their little containers, they line up, they get the oil, and yeah, we're not going to make a fortune doing that. That's not the intent, but that's the commitment to the community that we're going to take care of you as well.
Right.
So the other beautiful thing that came out of this, the farmers formed a cooperative. They all have a WhatsApp channel. I wanted to be on it, but it was pointless because I couldn't understand what they were really saying.
That's right.
But they have this co-op where they can buy the oil at a discounted price. And at first, the original board said, they're gonna rip us off maybe. What if they go into business and then sell the oil and we can't sell it? Like, there were all these worries, right?
Right.
Well, we said, no, we make a profit on the discount price.
Okay.
If they sell it for a profit, now the economic advantage to the farmers. That's what we want.
That's what we want.
We want them to be lifted up. Mm-hmm. So some of the farmers will figure that out. And they'll start their little micro business. Some of them have bought a dispenser in a town and they lock them up and sell it to other regions. And it's changing the ability for the average person to get something they need at a decent price.
At a decent price.
And the farmers are supplying it instead of some multinational company coming in to do it.
Yeah. So they're engaged in a business. They're planning. They're doing all the things that we talk about in financial services. Right?
That's right.
When they're setting goals, they're planning ahead. They're being specific about their goals. They're measuring their goals. We've talked about that here on the Money and Mission podcast. About
solving problems.
Solving problems. That's exactly right. But again, the thing I find so exciting, too, is that as we were talking about earlier, you know, this is why God created people, right? To be doing this very kind of thing and lifting each other up.
But imagine if we said, no, let's let the multinational business do it. We'll take the profit one day. We'll invest in that and take the profit and give it away.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is changing the landscape. When you look at the hills that are green, very, very green over there, you see little patches of yellow now.
Right.
And Sister Rose said that never was on this landscape before.
Wow.
That's really beautiful.
Well, careful, thoughtful, engaged giving like that in a way.
Integrated.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And when you take care of all those little details and you get people involved and, as you said, it's just changing. It's changing the community, but it's breaking a cycle of poverty.
That's right.
Right. For generations. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lasting impact, the ripple effects of that are enormous.
That's right. The whole region's changing, but not in a way. They're cultivating the land, caring for the land, caring for the animals. It's enhancing what's already there.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's so exciting. And as you said, people could travel to Kenya.
I talked to Sister Rose this morning, and she said, "Sure, invite them to Kenya." You know, and I'm like, "It's not that easy, Sister."
But it is
not that hard either. Mm-hmm. So for me, it got into my heart, and my husband and I went, and it was probably the most amazing experience of my life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know, you know, anybody that wanted to reach out to just learn more, even there is a website.
Their website's good. It doesn't have all the updated information. You know, when you're on a shoestring budget, you don't put money into websites. You put money into food.
And, that's,
but you can get the information there. It's not totally updated, but the donation page is.
The donation page
so
is updated
that's,
for sure.
Yeah, you can go to Mercy Project, not the Mercy Project, mercyproject.org.
Right, mercyproject.org. Mm-hmm. So let's pretend then, you know, that maybe somebody forgets Mercy Project. .org.
And call the radio station, get in touch with you.
call Holy Family Radio and we'll have Joe look it up for you. Right. Now you could also, you know, reach out to us too, wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com and we're happy to point you in the right direction. They could also call you, right? Or go to tpfinancial.com.
That's right. You can get on my website. We're in Frederick, Maryland. You know, don't leave a message in my voicemail. Ask for somebody to.
That's right.
I know myself too well, but I would love to talk. You know, if somebody's interested in considering this for part of their giving, you can give from a little or give from a lot. There are strategies to give where, as you know, James, in financial services, a lot of times you can use what would go to tax to give creative ways. So it doesn't impact you as much as you think. And I think as a race, as a community, as a country, we can give so much more than what we do. Not to be poor. We have more than we need, and we can still be blessed with more.
That's right.
But we can give.
So, you know, we referenced this early in our conversation here, that this whole thing of giving like this and being engaged, it's not about a future thing.
Mm-hmm.
So many times we think, oh, again, as we said, this... When I get to here, wherever here happens
never
to be,
never gets there.
Then I will start doing X, Y, or Z. This is about working as you go.
Yeah.
Right. And if you've never been giving or you haven't been engaged like that, you can start really small. Start with 0.5%, right? Mm-hmm. Something so
I think, honestly, you have to give to where you feel the pinch, because that's the risk. You have to take a risk for the Lord, and then that forces you to trust Him. And honestly, what we do is we try to make sure we give out of our comfort zone. And if we do that, that's great. But we need to give where it pinches, and you're not pinched. That's the catch. You never will be pinched.
You cannot out-generosity God.
No, you can't.
That's right.
And it's not a punitive thing. It's not a guilt thing. It's like it elevates your spirit, your joy, your life. It brings meaning. It brings energy. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So, you know, again, as we said, not out of your access. This is what God made you for.
That's right.
Right? To be in community like that. Community not just here, but community all throughout, all around the globe. So we've talked about how people can get in touch. The Mercy School website. Are there anything else about Sister Rose that you'd like us to know about as we're getting ready to wrap up?
She is. She was a track star over in Kenya. They have a natural proclivity for running. So she actually built a. This is her. She is a creative person. She built a track. She leveled ground, which is not level. And she kids from all over come and run on the track, and they're winning national and international awards, these kids. So she's so generous herself, out of nothing. She has nothing. I saw the place she was born in, and it was and she said this was an upgrade.
That's right.
It was a mud square house with a, now she said, we didn't really have a roof like that, but there is one now.
Yeah.
Poverty, complete poverty, and look what she's done.
That's right. Yeah, and she is so taking the point on that also, just and right where God wants her to be. So, well, thanks so much, Kathy, for a slice out of your day visiting with us here. The time goes so quickly. But again, reach out to Kathy at tpfinancial.com or reach out to us at wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com to talk more about this story. And again, you're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.